Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello. Welcome to the newest episode of A New Day Is Here, featuring Clown Cotton's Crown Prince Web 2.0. How is everyone doing today? I hope everyone's doing absolutely fabulous, because I know I am. Since our last show, I had basically been doing a little studying of Zig Ziglar. And Zig Ziglar had this awesome little statement that he would have people make each morning for like a 30-day period. And I'm going to go through the statement real quick to start our show off, and then we're going to actually go to the subject matter, which is the Master Key System, and we're on Lesson 16 there. But I thought this might be helpful. I, Clarence Cotton, am a child of the King. That's John 1:12. And the will of God, which is the Lord's Prayer, and can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength, which is Philippians 4:13. I claim the following attributes because I have the mind of Christ, 1 Corinthians 2:11. Am a confidant of God, Psalms 25:14. And although I am weak in many of these qualities, I'm specifically told, that's Joel 3:10, to let the weak say I am strong. By claiming, developing, and using these biblical qualities, I will become the person God created me to be and will glorify God and benefit mankind. A, I, Clarence, am an honest, intelligent, organized, responsible, committed, teachable person who is sober, loyal, and clearly understands that regardless of who signs my paycheck, I am self-employed. I am an optimistic, punctual, enthusiastic, goal-setting, smart-working self-starter who is a disciplined, focused, dependable, persistent, positive thinker with great self-control, and am an energetic and diligent team player and hard worker who appreciates the opportunity, my company, and the free enterprise system, my resources, and apply common sense to my daily tasks. I take honest pride in my competence, appearance, and manners, and am motivated to be and do my best so that my healthy self-image will remain on solid ground. These are the qualities which enable me to manage myself and help give me employment security in a no-job security world. B, I, Clarence, am a compassionate, respectful encourager who is a considerate, generous, gentle, patient, caring, sensitive, personable, attentive, fun-loving person. I am supportive, giving and forgiving, clean, kind, unselfish, affectionate, loving, family-oriented human being, and I am sincere, an open-minded, good listener, and a good finder who is trustworthy. These are the qualities which enable me to relationships with my associates, neighbors, mate, and family. C, I, Clarence, am a person of integrity with faith and wisdom to know what I should do, and the courage and convictions to follow through. I have the vision to manage myself and to lead others. I am authoritative, confident, humbly grateful for the opportunity life offers me. I am fair, flexible, resourceful, creative, knowledgeable, decisive, and an extra miler with a servant attitude who communicates well with others. I am a consistent, pragmatic teacher with character and a finely tuned sense of humor. I am an honorable person and am balanced in my personal, family, and business life, and have a passion for being, doing, and learning more today so that I can be, do, and have more tomorrow. D, these are the qualities of the winner I was born to be, and I am fully committed to developing these marvelous qualities with which I have been entrusted. Tonight, I will dream powerful, positive dreams. I will awaken, energize, and refresh. Tomorrow is going to be a magnificent day, and my future is unlimited. Recognizing, claiming, and developing these qualities, which I already have, gives me a legitimate chance to be happier, healthier, more prosperous, more secure, have more friends, greater peace of mind, better family relationships, and a legitimate hope that the future will be even better. These are the qualities of the winner I was born to be, and I will develop and use these qualities to achieve my worthy objectives. Today is a brand new day, and it is mine to use in a marvelously productive way. And I think that last line will most definitely be a moniker of the show. Today is a brand new day, and it is mine to use in a marvelously productive way. We're on Lesson 16 of the Master Key System, and Lesson 6 Terry Universe are governed by the law of periodicity. Everything that lives has periods of birth, growth, fruitage, and decline. These periods are governed by the septimal laws. The laws of seven govern the day of the week, the phases of the moon, the harmonies of sound, light, heat, electricity, magnetism, atomic structure. They govern the life of individuals and of nations, and it dominates the activities of the commercial world. Life is grown, life is growth, and growth is change. Each seven-year period takes us into a new cycle. 7 years is the period of infancy. The next 7 years, the period of childhood, representing the beginning of individual's responsibility. The next seven represents the period of adolescence. The fourth period marks the attainment of full growth. The fifth period is the constructive period, where men begin to acquire property, possessions, a home, and family. The next, from 35 to 42, is a period of reactions and changes, and this in turn is followed by a period of reconstruction, adjustment, and recuperation so as to be ready for the next cycles, sevens, beginning with the 50th year. There are many who think the world is just about to pass out of the sixth period, and it will soon enter the seventh period, the period of readjustment. Harmony, the period which is frequently referred to as the millennium. Those familiar with cycles will not be disturbed when things seem to go wrong, but can apply the principles outlined in these lessons with the full assurance that a higher law will invariably control all other laws, and that through an understanding and conscious operations of spiritual laws, we can convert every seeming difficulty into a blessed product of labor. Capital is its effect, not a cause. A servant, not a master. A means, not an end. The most commonly accepted definition of wealth is that it consists of all useful and agreeable things which possess exchange values. It is this exchange value which is the predominant characteristic of wealth. When we consider the small additions made by wealth to the happiness of the possessor, we find that the true value consists not in its utility, but in its exchange. This exchange makes it a medium for securing the things of real value whereby our ideas may be realized. Wealth should then never be desired as an end, but simply as a means of accomplishing an end. Success is contingent upon a higher idea than the mere accumulation of riches. And he who acquires, he who aspires to such success must formulate an ideal for which he is willing to strive. Such an idea in mind, the way and means can and will be provided. But the mistake must not be made of substituting the means for the end. There must be a definite fixed purpose and ideal. Prentice Mulford said, "The man of success is the man possessed of the greatest spiritual. Every great fortune comes of superior and truly spiritual power. Unfortunately, there are those who fail to recognize this power. They forgot that Andrew Carnegie's mother had to help support the family when they came to America, that Harriman's father was a poor clergyman with a salary of only $200 a year, that Sir Thomas Lipson started with only 25 cents. These men had no other power to depend upon, but it did not fail them. The power to create depends entirely upon spiritual power, their idealization, visualization, and materialization. Every captive industry depends upon this power exclusively." In an article of Everybody's Magazine, Henry M. Flager, the Standard Oil multimillionaire, admitted that the secret of success was his power to see a thing in its completeness. The whole conversation with the reporter shows his power of idealization, concentration, and visualization, all spiritual powers. Did you actually vision to yourself the whole thing? I mean, did you or could you really close your eyes and see the track and the trains running and hear the whistles blowing? Did you go as far as that? Yes, clearly, very clearly. Here we have a vision of the law. We see cause and effect. We see that thought necessarily precedes and determines action. If we are wise, we shall come into a realization of the tremendous fact that no arbitrary condition can exist for a moment, and that human experience is the result of an orderly and harmonious sequence. The successful businessman is more often than not an idealist and is striving for higher and higher standards. The subtle forces of thought as they crystallize in our daily moods is what constitutes life. Thought is the plastic material with which we build images of our growing conception of life. Use determines its existence. As in all other things, our ability to recognize it and use it properly is the necessary condition for attainment. Premature wealth is but the forerunner of humiliation and disaster, because we cannot permanently attain anything we do not merit and which we have not earned. The conditions with which we meet in the world without correspond to the conditions with which the world within. This is brought about by the law of attraction. How then shall we determine what is to enter into the world within? Whatever enters the mind through the senses or the objective mind will impress the mind and result in a mental image which will become a pattern for creative energies. These experiences are largely the result of environment, chance, past thinking, and other forms of negative thought, and must be subjected to careful analysis before being entertained. On the other hand, we can form our own mental images through our own interior process of thought. Regardless of the thoughts of others, regardless of the exterior conditions, regardless of the environment of every kind, and it is by the exercise of this power that we can control our destiny, body, mind, and soul. It is by the exercise of this power that we take our faith out of the hands of chance and consciously make for ourselves the experiences which we desire, because we have continuously realized a condition that condition will eventually manifest in our lives. It is therefore evident that in the last analysis, thinking is one of the great causes in life. Therefore, to control thought is to control circumstance, conditions, environment, and destiny. How then are we to control thought? What is the process? To think is to create a thought, but the result of the thought will depend upon its form, quality, and its vitality. The form will depend upon the mental image from which it emanates. This will depend upon the depth of the impression, the predominance of the idea, the clarity of the vision, the boldness of the image. The quality depends upon its substance, and this depends upon the material which the mind is comprised. If the material has been woven from thoughts of vigor, strength, courage, determination, the thought will possess these qualities. And finally, the vitality depends upon the feeling which with the thought is impregnated. If the thought is constructive, it will possess vitality. It will have life. It will grow, develop, expand. It will be creative. It will attract to itself everything necessary for its complete development. If the thought is destructive, it will have within it the germ of its own dissolution. It will die. But in the process of dying, it will bring sickness, disease, and every other form of discord. This we call evil. And when we bring it upon ourselves, some of us are disposed to attribute our own difficulties to a supreme being. But this supreme being is simply mind in equilibrium. It is neither good nor bad. It simply is. Our ability to differentiate it in form is our ability to manifest good and evil. Good and evil, therefore, are not entities. They are simply words we use to indicate the results of our actions. And these actions are in turn predetermined by the character of our thought. If our thought is constructive and harmonious, we manifest good. If it is destructive and discord, we manifest evil. If you desire to visualize a different environment, the process is simply to hold the idea in mind until your vision has been made real. Give no thought to persons, places, or things. These have no place in the absolute. The environment you desire will contain everything necessary. The right persons and the right things will come at the right time and in the right places. it is sometimes not plain how character, ability, attainment, achievement, environment, and destiny can be controlled through the power of visualization. But this is an exact scientific fact. You will readily see that what we think determines the quality of mind, that the quality of mind in turn determines our ability and mental capacity. And you will readily understand that the improvement in our ability will naturally be followed by increase in attainment and a greater control of circumstances. It will thus be seen that natural laws work in a perfect, natural, and harmonious manner. Everything seems to just happen. If you want any evidence of this fact, simply compare results of your efforts in your own life, and your actions were prompted by high ideals, and when you had a selfish and ulterior motive in mind, you will need no further evidence. If you wish to bring about the realization of any desired form, a mental picture of success in your mind by consciously visualizing your desires, in this way you will be a compelling success. You will be externalizing it in your life by scientific methods. We can only see what already exists in the objective world, but we can visualize already exists. But what we visualize already exists in the spiritual world, and this visualization is a sense of what will one day appear in the objective world. Only see what already exists in the objective world, but what we visualize already exists in the spiritual world. And this visualization is a substantial token of what will one day appear in the objective world. If we are faithful to our ideas, the reason for this is not difficult. Visualization is a form of imagination. This process of thinking forms impressions of the mind, and these impressions will in turn form concepts and ideals. They in turn are the plans from which the master architects will weave the future. The psychologists come to the conclusion that there is but one sense, the sense of feelings. All other senses are but modification of this one sense. This being true, we know why feeling is the very foundation, fountainhead of power, why the emotions so easily overcome the intellect, and why we must put feeling into our thought if we wish results. Thought and feeling is the irresistible combination. Visualization must, of course, be directed by the will. We are to visualize exactly what we want. We must be careful not to let the imagination run riot. Imagination is a good servant but poor master, and unless it is controlled, it will easily lead us into all kinds of speculations and conclusions which have no basis or foundation of fact whatever. Every kind of plausible opinion is liable to be accepted without any analytical examination, and the inevitable result is mental chaos. We must therefore construct only mental images as are known to be scientifically true. Subject every idea to a searching analysis and accept nothing which is not scientifically exact. When you do this, you attempt nothing but what you know you can carry out. Crown your effort. This is what businessmen call farsightedness. It is much the same as insight and is one of the greatest secrets of success in all important undertakings. For your exercise this week, try to bring yourself to a realization of the important fact that harmony and happiness are states of consciousness and do not depend upon the possession of things. That things are effects and come as a consequence of correct mental state. So that if we desire material possessions of any kind, our chief concern should be to acquire the mental attitude that will bring about the results desired. This mental attitude is brought about by a realization of a spiritual nature, our unity with the universal mind, which is the substance of all things. This realization will bring about everything which is necessary for our complete enjoyment. This is scientific or correct thinking. When we succeed in bringing about this mental attitude, it is comparatively easy to realize our desires as an already accomplished fact. When we can do this, we shall have found the truth, which makes us free from every lack or limitation of any kind. A man might frame and let loose a star to roll it and not have done so memorable thing before God as he let a golden orb thought to roll through the generations of time. That was H.W. Beecher. And we only have about a minute and 30 seconds left, so let us see if we can get through some of these exercises. And the fact we're going to do is we're going to say, upon which does wealth depend? Upon the understanding of the creative nature of thought. Upon what does its true value consist? Upon its exchange. Upon what does success depend? Upon spiritual power. Upon what does this power depend? Upon use, and use determines its existence. How much we take our faith out of our hands of chance? By consciously realizing the conditions with which we desire to see manifested in our lives. What then is the great business of life? Thinking. Why is this so? Because thought is spiritual and therefore creative. To consciously control thought is therefore to consciously control circumstances, conditions, environment, and destiny. What is the source of all evil? Destructive thinking. What is the source of all good? Scientifically correct thought. And I want to thank you all for being with us on another episode of A New Day Is Here. I look forward to you joining us at Conference of Web 2.0, wishing you a very prosperous week. Bye-bye.